ourselves to the teaching of God's word. Fellowship with believers, breaking bread in communion. Won't you come and join us?
Welcome to the Sustaining Word, a listener-supported teaching ministry of Calvary Chapel, Manitowoc, Wisconsin. Join Pastor Joe Guglielmo for today's study from God's Word, the Bible. Stay tuned at the end of the broadcast for program ordering information.
He's playing Jesus the words he say they will listen to. Guys, what Jesus says in the Word of God, the Bible, is we need to listen to. This is a story that man has written. Is there some biblical continuity? Yeah, I mean, they take some stuff from the Bible, true. But be careful. Two dozen extraordinarily talented folks from all walks, all the religions of the world working together. Basically, discernment is so important. And the church is getting weaker and weaker. Claude Fisher is a Berkeley sociologist, and it points to a Watershed Gallup poll showing that in 2020, for the first time since the poll began in the 1930s, fewer than 50% of Americans were affiliated with a church, synagogue, or mosque. It showed 21% of Americans had no religious affiliation. Wow. That means they're alone. And I know you've seen those National Geographic shows and stuff where, you know, they're out in the African jungle, and who does the lion go after? The lone one, the lone antelope or whatever creature is out there, because they're a lot easier. So many Christians are out there being attacked by the devil, bringing in these false teachings, and it's a big deal. Now, to destroy the Christian church, you have to get the church to compromise. And how do they do it? Oh, come on, we just need to get along. We don't want to fight with each other. That's not Christian. How can you say that homosexuality or anything else besides what the Bible says is a sin when they were born that way, or that they love each other or whatever? And the list goes on and on. And they want us to compromise. They make us feel uncomfortable and the church dies. Would Jesus tolerate sin? No. Jesus loves the sinner, but he doesn't tolerate their sin. And I realize for some people they struggle with that. Oh, the Bible never says Jesus loves the sinner but hates their sin. No, he doesn't say it, but he shows it. The woman that was caught in the act of adultery, did he not love her? He absolutely did. Did he say ignore her sin? He absolutely did not ignore her sin. He loved the sinner, hates the sin. But they want you to compromise. And I'll give you an example. The head of the United Nations put it like this. The UN chief said it should be an opportunity to reflect on the importance of cultural and religious understanding and mutual respect. I am grateful to the religious leaders across the world who are joining hands to promote dialogue and interfaith harmony. That's Mr. Guterres, Secretary General. Human Fraternity for World Peace and Living Together. Wow. It was co-authored by spiritual leader of the Catholic Church, the Pope, Pope Francis, the Grand Imam of Al-Azhar, Egyptian Islamic scholar Sheikh Ahmad Al-Tib, calling it a model for compassion and human solidarity. We need this spirit more than ever, he declared. The UN chief concluded with an appeal to stand firm against bigotry wherever we see it. Let's recognize our diversity as a richness that strengthens us all. Let us build bridges between the faiths inspired by our common humanity. And let us come together in solidarity to create a more inclusive, peaceful, and just world for all, he said. Now, one of the issues for government control and religious control is our right, especially in this country, to bear arms. Antonio Guterres, head of the United Nations, what did he say? Listen very carefully. Disarmament is an essential tool to secure the world and our future. Now, disarmament is your tool to control the people, okay? That's why our founding fathers had the amendment, the right to bear arms. It wasn't to protect against foreign nations, it was protect against the government. But now they've changed that. But this is an essential tool to have control of the people. Now, the most popular apostasy in Christianity or Christendom today, I should say, is the teaching that God has revealed himself in many different ways to different cultures. And so all religions worship the same God, just different names, right? Allah of Islam is the same as Yahweh of Judaism, and so same as Krishna of Hinduism. It's the coexist. And the National Council of Churches in the United States and the World Council condemned missionary activity as arrogant and anti-cultural. So for us to go and share the gospel message, we're very arrogant and anti-cultural. No, we're loving. We bring the gospel message because we love people. We want them to come to Jesus Christ. But again, they're condemning the work that we're doing. Look at the religious leaders of the world coming together. This is back in 1981, the United Nations Declaration on the Elimination of All Forms of Intolerance and of Discrimination Based on Religion or Belief. Wow. Article 1. Everyone shall have the right to freedom of thought, conscience, and religion. This right shall include freedom to have a religion or whatever belief of his choice, and freedom either individually or in community with others, and in public or private, to manifest his religion or belief in worship, observance, practice, and teaching. And, you know, it sounds fine. Everyone should have the right to worship as they please. Number 2, no one shall be subject to coercion, which would impair his freedom to have a religion or belief of his choice. A little cloudy now. Does that mean you can't share your faith with others? You can't witness to others? Could be. Number 3, freedom to manifest one's religion or belief may be subject only to such limitations as prescribed by law and are necessary to protect public safety, order, health, or morals, or the fundamental rights and freedoms of others. Now it's up to the government to tell me if I can practice my faith. If it goes against what they want, you can't. And that was back in 1981. And now we're moving closer to Agenda 2030, getting closer to getting this done. One more point to show you how they're trying to engage Christians into a world religion, and we have to compromise what we believe, is this is, again, from the series The Chosen. There's so much wrong with this. But this is what we're told. So I love the fact that our communities are coming together with our celebration, our worship, and our faith, said Brad Pilo, one of the Mormon executive producers of The Chosen and the driving force behind The Chosen Christmas special. Notice that this is a Mormon executive producer of a Christian show. Do you see anything wrong with that? I mean, that should be like a red flag. Well, there's a memorable quote. Remember that claim that The Chosen is not produced by Mormons? The Mormon involvement in The Chosen is hands-on. During the interview, Mormon executive producer Brad Pilo said, "It's my responsibility as chief distribution officer to figure out how to keep fans engaged. Not how to keep it biblical, but how to keep you coming to watch the show. So I got to make it more intriguing. Like the story of Jesus is not intriguing enough, but I have to do it to make you come and watch my show." We are watching, I believe, the growing spiritual unity between those of different faiths via The Chosen. Wow. Christianity, Mormonism, and mystical Catholicism are coming together. Differences are becoming blurred in the eyes and hearts of many because, after all, we have heard again and again, this is the authentic Jesus. Mormon executive producer Daryl Eves noted, "And this authentic Jesus needs to go out to more people. We want to get it out to a billion people." During the interview, still speaking about The Chosen Christmas special, Palo casually mentioned, "Most people probably didn't realize that there are a couple of Latter-day Saints artists in those performers, you know, and they're some of the most beloved." Wow. What do we do about this? Don't watch the show. I mean, I don't know. That just seems easy enough. But use discernment. Again, this was very slick because it came out being very good, I believe, from what I heard. But now look at where it's at. Again, that's just what the devil likes to do. And again, I'll ask the question, what did Nehemiah do in the situation that he faced? Nehemiah 6:3. "So I sent messengers to them saying, I am doing a great work. So I cannot come down. Why should the work cease while I leave it and go down to you?" So Nehemiah has a perspective of the situation. I'm busy doing the work of God. I'm rebuilding the wall. I'm not going to stop. I'm not going to waste my time getting involved in these other things that are going nowhere. It was a great work. And they wanted, if you remember, they wanted to meet Nehemiah in the plane of, oh no, I think that's hilarious. I love that. Don't go there because you'll be saying, oh, no, why did I go here, right? I think God has a great sense of humor. I don't know. Maybe it's just me. One other point, and that's Nehemiah 6:4, the persistence of the enemy. But they sent me this message four times, and I answered them in the same manner. The persistence to get us to compromise. Come on, just do this once. Just go to this. Just don't give in. I'm doing a great work. And I cannot come. Why should the work cease while I leave and go down to you? Don't do it. Understand. You know, religions of the world are going to come together, not because I said so, because God did. There will be a false prophet who will unite the religions of the world together, and we're seeing it come together quickly today. Well, the last point is treachery, AI, artificial intelligence. And again, Nehemiah 6:10, afterward I came to the house of Shemaiah, the son of Delaiah, the son of Matabal, who was a secret informer, and he said, let us meet together in the house of God within the temple, and let us close the doors of the temple, for they are coming to kill you. Indeed, at night they will come and kill you. So again, this is just treachery, deceitfulness to get Nehemiah and the Jews to stop the work they were doing. Don't hide out in the house of God or be fearful of the enemy. Be involved in the work. You know, God doesn't want us to be fearful. And, you know, we can go into so many things that the government's doing and this, you know, all these things that are happening. But you know what? Don't let it stop you from doing the work. People go, you know, your televisions, they can listen into your conversations at home. Going, man, they're probably pretty bored listening to me. I don't know, man. And if they are listening to me, praise the Lord, because, you know, I'm going to talk about Jesus, so I don't really care. I don't really care because there's a work that I need to do. Now, one of the big things today we hear a lot of talk about is transhumanism. I don't know if that's your ideal person that you want to have as a transhuman, but okay. I mean, I would have picked a younger guy, not someone like my age, but all right. But it's part human, part machine. Are we getting close? I think we are. But I don't think this is going to take place on a large scale until the mark of the beast is given, and I'll show you why. You see, remember when the mark, if a person, obviously they're not a Christian, they're in the tribulation period, when they receive the mark of the beast, they can't be saved. They're going to worship the Antichrist and Satan. So, well, yeah, that just makes sense. They're worshiping the Antichrist and Satan. They can't be saved. Now, wait a minute. There are Satan worshipers today who got saved. So what's different here? There's something I think is different, that they can't be saved. And I think it's because of this transhumanism. Now, again, this is my idea. I don't know if it's going to come to pass or not. But I think the mark of the beast is something that is going to control people's lives, and they can't be saved at that after that, after they receive that mark of the beast. And it's also interesting that the false prophet gives life to the image of the beast. Do you ever think about that? Is that an artificial intelligence that the false prophet is giving life to? I don't know, possibly. You know, Revelation 13, he was granted power to give breath to the image of the beast, that the image of the beast should both speak and cause as many as would not worship the image of the beast to be killed. He causes all, both small and great, rich and poor, free and slave, to receive a mark on their right hand or on their foreheads, and that no one may buy or sell except one who has the mark or the name of the beast or the number of his name. He gives life, or really breath, to this image of this beast. What does it mean? Well, maybe the machine's turned on. Could be. But he was granted to give power to give breath to the image of the beast. Could that be some kind of transhumanism? Part man, part machine. Possibly. I think it's got to be some kind of AI, because it's got to have the ability to deal with all those in the world who have received the mark or those who haven't. It's got to know. And, you know, I'm barely remembering my grandkids' names, let alone every person on the planet. So I think it has some kind of computer capabilities, and I think it's AI. And I'm going to show you a video that is going to show these aren't just clumsy machines, but the way they can feel and figure out how to grasp things is amazing. I want you to know how they're fine-tuning this, because to me that's the amazing thing.
Welcome to Giant AI, home of the Universal Worker, a robot that can learn to perform general manufacturing tasks. In this video, we'll investigate the robot's sense of touch. At Giant AI, we use touch sensors to help the Universal Worker understand and interact with the world around it. Our touch sensors are made from a proprietary skin technology and can be modified to fit almost any surface shape or size. This synthetic skin technology is designed to be both low cost and easy to manufacture. Here you can see a pattern of force on the fingertips, and that the sensor can distinguish force applied from different directions. When handling small objects, touch information is especially important for precision manipulation. For large objects, the contact area with the sensor is also larger, giving the robot the capability to estimate the shape and dimension of objects through touch. The touch sensors are also used for precision placement tasks, where touch both helps to guide the object into place and to protect the object and the fingertips from excessive forces. That's all for now. Watch for more clips from Giant AI.
Isn't that incredible? The fine motor skills. I mean, as I'm getting older, I'm having more difficulty with my fine motor skills, you know? Try and tie a fishing lure, you know, put a line on a fishing lure. Oh, my gosh. I'm sitting there going, oh, come on, I got to get the, you know? But look at the detail. And so they're working on this. I'll give you an example of an AI, Dale E2. It produced a black and white vintage photo of a 1920 mobster taking a selfie. And then a sailboat knitted out of blue yarn. It was just told these things. And this is what it came up with the a mobster taking a selfie of himself. Pretty incredible. That's what he came up with. Here's the sailboat. Oh, good. It is there. Isn't that wow. You know, that's the technology. The article says what's impressive about Dale E2 isn't just the art it generates. It's how it generates art. These aren't composites made out of existing internet images. They are wholly new creations made through a complex AI process known as diffusion, which starts with a random series of pixels and refines it repeatedly until it matches a given text description. And it's improving quickly. Dale E2's images are four times as detailed as the images generated by original Dale E, which was introduced last year. This is what it produced a three-dimensional structure of proteins from the one-dimensional amino acid sequence. It solved what was known as the protein folding problem, which vexed molecular biologists for years. This is what it came up with. And they say this summer, DeepMind announced that AlphaFold had made predictions for nearly all of the 200 million proteins known to exist, producing a treasure trove of data that will help medical researchers develop new drugs and vaccines for years to come. Only a few years ago, AI chatbots struggled with even rudimentary conversations, say nothing of more intelligent language-based tasks. But now large language models like OpenAI's GPT-3 are being used to write screenplays, compose marketing emails, and develop video games. He said, I even used GPT-3 to write a book review for this paper last year, and had I not clued in my editors beforehand, I doubt they would have suspected anything. AI is writing code, too. More than a million people have signed up to use GitHub's Copilot, a tool researched last year that helps programmers work faster by automatically finishing the code snippets. Incredible stuff when you think about this. Are they going to take the place of workers and teachers and possibly? Whether you agree with Elon Musk or not, the guy is a brilliant guy. And I'm going to share with you a video at one of his meetings, and I have to go back because that's where I was supposed to be, but I missed it. And just listen to what he's developing, because this is what's going to be for your home. And these robots are not going to cost $1 million. They're going to be the cost of a car. Think about that. An AI in your home that cheap. But listen to what he says. He's a brilliant guy.
Welcome to Tesla AI Day 2022. I do want to set some expectations with respect to our Optimus robot. As you know, last year it was just a person in a robot suit. But we've come a long way, and it's compared to that, it's going to be very impressive. So should we bring up the bot?
Before we do that, we have one little bonus tip for the day. This is actually the first time we try this robot without any backup support, cranes, mechanical mechanisms, no cables, nothing.
Yeah.
Wanted to do it with you guys tonight, but it's the first time. So let's see.
You ready? Let's go.
Go.
That runs in your Tesla cars, by the way.
This is this is literally the first time the robot has operated without a tether. It was on stage tonight. So the robot can actually do a lot more than we just showed you. We just didn't want it to fall on its face. So we'll show you some videos now of the robot doing a bunch of other things.
Yeah, we wanted to show a little bit more what we've done over the past few months with the bot and just walking around and dancing on stage. Just humble beginnings, but you can see the autopilot neural networks running as is, just retrained for the bot directly on that new platform. That's my watering can.
Yeah, when you see a rendered view, that's the robot. That's the world the robot sees. So it's very clearly identifying objects. Like, this is the object it should pick up, picking it up.
We use the same process as we did for Autopilot to collect data and train neural networks that we then deploy on the robot. That's an example that illustrates the upper body a little bit more.
What you saw was what we call Bumble C. That's our sort of rough development robot using semi-off-the-shelf actuators. But we actually have gone a step further than that already. The team's done an incredible job. And we actually have an Optimus bot with fully Tesla-designed and built actuators, battery pack, control system, everything. It wasn't quite ready to walk, but I think it will walk in a few weeks. But we wanted to show you the robot, something that's actually fairly close to what will go into production. And show you all the things it can do. So let's bring it out.
Do it.
So you kind of get the idea where they're at. He wants to make this, again, these robots affordable. Like if you bought a car, that would be the cost of this robot. For your house, and because he's going to mass produce these. Last year, remember what he said? We had a guy come out in a robot outfit. This year, they had the robot come out. This is how far they've advanced. And what's amazing to me is that every 3 months, the speed of artificial intelligence computation doubles. Every 3 months, back in 2019. It's outpacing Moore's Law. Now, you may think, I didn't know what Moore's Law was, so I had to look it up. It's the principle that the speed and capability of computers can be expected to double every 2 years as a result of increases in the number of transistors a microchip can contain. No longer 2 years, every 3 months. Isn't that crazy when you look at that? And are we creating a Terminator? I don't know. I don't think so, because I know how the world ends, and it's not a Terminator. It's not Arnold Schwarzenegger, that's for sure. But I think when you look at the image of the beast and the mark of the beast, I think they're linked together. I think this mark of the beast has some way of controlling people. Because, again, they no longer have a choice in getting saved. They're doomed. How tragic. And so we see, look at all this stuff that's going on. You know, we see this coming against Christianity. We see this global government coming together. We see these global religious leaders coming together to make a global religion. We see all this artificial intelligence and how fast it's coming together. I mean, every 3 months.
Devoting ourselves to the teaching of God's word, fellowship with believers, breaking bread in communion. Won't you come and join us as we feast on God's word?
That's all the time we have for today's teaching. If you would like a personal copy of this message, mention today's date when you contact us. Our mailing address is Calvary Chapel, Manitowoc, Post Office Box 224, Manitowoc, Wisconsin, 54221-0224. Our telephone number is area code 920-682-6163. Or visit us on the web at www.thesustainingword.com, where you can listen to past studies and review the study notes. It is the hope of Pastor Joe and the congregation of Calvary Chapel, Manitowoc, that you would grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Until next time, may the Lord nourish you with His sustaining word.